This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hi, friends. Oh,
hi, friends.
Oh, we got two hi friends. That's usually not what I say. I usually say hello, everybody. And she says hi, friends. But today,
Jen's usually the more professional one and starts us out in such a nice professional way. And I'm like, hi, friends, which, you know, it kind of speaks to our personalities a lot too.
So. Well, getting on the professional side, we're really glad you guys joined us and joined us for our podcast, Plans, Hope, and a Future. And I want to say this is episode 29.
Oh, my word.
I know. It doesn't seem like we've done 29 of these.
Wow. We are moving and grooving.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And if you out there have any kind of questions or things you want us to talk about, we will gladly entertain those subjects. You can email us in the email address in the description, and we would love to talk about what you want us to talk about. Within reason, of course.
And update, it's episode 30. I just checked.
Oh, 30. Okay. So I knew it was
our 30th episode anniversary.
Yay!
That's really exciting. Who would have thought these two gals who came into this podcast with really no clue about what we were going to talk about are still going and enjoying it? I'm really having a good time doing this. So,
yeah, me
who
too.
Who would have thought we could use our gift of gab God gave us in such a fun way?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, I think it speaks to both of our, aside from our gift of gab, you and I are both called into speaking and sharing our book and our stories. And so I feel like this is a natural medium for that. So
yeah,
it worked well. So, or it is working well, I should say.
Yes. So we, always pray again before every podcast. And Jen was working on some technology things because we had some delays in internet, all the things. And I was just over here praying. And I felt like the Lord just put on my heart springing forward and spring, because we are in, well, Northern Kentucky here. We are welcoming in the spring season, I believe. The first day of spring was March 21st. I think that's the first day of spring.
Yeah.
So, and I felt like God gave me a verses for that. And I don't know if Jen's ready to read that to you now, but Jen's going to read the verses to you. And then we're going to talk about that a little bit more. So I didn't put Jen on the spot here, folks.
Yes, she did. Give me the book and the reference, or give me the chapter and the verse, and I will read it gladly, because I didn't have it here.
So friends, I'm gonna read it, but don't laugh at me, because the reason I'm having Jen read it is because I cannot pronounce Ecclesiastes.
You did it fine.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did it fine.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1-8 is what I'm going to read to you. So here we go. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. So, as God just put this verse in my heart, and spring and new seasons, I just felt like maybe we could talk a little bit tonight about different seasons of life, because there is so many different seasons and there is so many rich things for us to learn and embrace in every season. And instead of fighting against those things or hanging on to what is not for us anymore, you know, I think we can talk about those things and kind of just identify those things and be able to walk into our next season a little bit more gracefully, hopefully, without trying to hold on to the season before, or you know, scared to walk into the next season because it might look different. So yeah. I know Jen and I, who've had some traumatic things happen in our past, and some high highs and some low lows, we've experienced a lot of different times and seasons. And so I know some of those times are so hard that I want to sleep through the whole thing, or I don't want to be present in those. But I do know that those times are also the times that I feel closer to God than I ever do in those really hard weeping, grief, whatever season that is for me. Those are the closest times that I've ever experienced with the Lord. So does any season come to mind for you, Jen, that stands out where you and the Lord were BFFs because you wouldn't have made another moment without him?
Well, you know, when I think of us being BFFs, it's like right now where things are good for me, you know?
Oh.
Like right now I feel I it's kind of funny. So I'm going through some interesting stuff, but I really feel close to God right now, and it's good. Yeah. So he feels like my BFF. But then there have been moments or seasons where I felt like I couldn't make it another second if I didn't have him underneath me. And then those moments, he's more than a BFF. He's like, I'm like holding on to his leg for dear life. Like, don't leave me, just even though he would never leave me. But you know what I mean? In our desperation, we're having those pleading prayers of don't leave me, stay with me. You know, let me feel you near me. And the thing I used to do when I would have those moments is I would put unrealistic expectation on the moment. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm having this moment. It must mean something is wrong with me, or, you know, I'm just, I don't know, a self-judgment against me, or that life is against me, just all of these things, rather than just accepting that there are moments in our life where we just go through hard times, and hard times are going to come. They always are. Good times are going to come. And that's just the natural rhythm of life. It's not. If you have bad things happening or hard things happening at any point in time, does not mean you're in a bad, like you've done something wrong, or you know, whatever it is. So I had to get out of that thinking and just allow myself to feel the grief in the moments or the frustration in those moments, whatever it is, but also self-compassion and to not let my self-talk be turned inward and judgmental towards myself, like, or towards God even, you know, so if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does it look like as you're walking into a new season? And I feel like we can feel, you know, shifts beginning to happen and things opening up for us and things like that. Or things starting to be torn away, because I've had those seasons as well. How do you move into that season without wanting to run back to the past season or just skip ahead? You know, like take a run past that season. How do you embrace the season you're in? Because they're, as we read in Ecclesiastes, I'm going to keep saying that now, as we read in that book, that there is a time for everything. And we clearly know that at this point in our lives. How do you stay present in those moments and still have hope, you know, and be okay in that season?
Yeah, for me, it goes back to just not judging what those moments are. Like when you have a hard, well, let me even explain this a little deeper. So the way that I used to think was that my life was cursed, that I was cursed, that when bad things happened to me, it was because I was a horrible person or must have secret sin, or, you know, God wasn't really with me. I mean, I would go through the gamut of different thoughts of why I was having bad things happen. And it was a lot of judgment on myself. It was a lot of self-judgment, a lot of really bad self-talk. And as I've grown in my faith, I've just come to see that there are moments that there's adversity and it grows us. And I can look at hard times, not that I enjoy them. I'm not going to say I do. But to just look at those as God is going to grow me in some way, and to realize that Romans 8:28 is still in effect. He still work it for my good somehow.
Amen.
Even if I don't see it.
Yep.
And to remind myself of that, to literally remind myself of that, and to not put any kind of judgment on the hard thing that I'm going through. Like as humans, we want to put meaning on everything, don't we? We want to put this perfect understanding of what a moment is. And sometimes we just can't understand or grasp why we're going through things at the time we are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so glad and thankful you kind of went further and said, you know, where times you felt cursed, because I have had the same experience, and I know we can't be alone, but my scenario was I had been married. Well, I've been married 3 times now, but on my second marriage, after my husband passed away from leukemia, very shortly after, we received a phone call that my first husband had, that I had no contact with anymore, but we received a phone call that he passed away as well. This was within a month of one another, very, very close. So not only was I feeling some kind of way about it, I had younger friends who said, "Whoa, people are going to think you're cursed or something." And so that one hit.
Oh, what a thing to speak over you. Oh.
Yes. Yes. So that one took a while to process and to really think about. And I was quite concerned for a while to even consider the option of, you know, ever having a thought of remarrying, because I really thought maybe for a while I was cursed. I'm a child of God. That's not even a thing. But in that season, it very much felt very real. But I will tell you that right after all of that happened, and I really, God took care of me in some magnificent ways. We talk about Romans 8:28. He made a way for me and my daughter to be able to stay home for a year after those deaths in our family. And well, I was able to stay home with her. She went to school, you know, and those things. But I was able to stay home and be financially taken care of for that year and grieve the loss and mourn the loss. And I have never, to this day, felt so close and dependent on the Lord in one of the most horrific and awful seasons of my life. But there was so much good in that season because I would have never, ever experienced God as that closely, as a savior, as a BFF, as my everything, because I have mentioned it in past podcasts, but you know, I was in my 20s and I had two husbands that passed away. And so no one could relate to that in my age group. So there was lots of people who just left and went away. And I was just there with me and my daughter and the Lord, which was terrible at first, because I thought I was losing it. So that season was awful. But once I really leaned into just opening up my heart and trusting God, I really have never felt him so close. I mean, really, to this day, he was everything. He was my husband. He was everything, because that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
So there was so much beauty in arguably one of the worst times of my life, but so much beauty with the Lord. So I think there is so much gold in even the worst of the worst seasons. I know that's kind of a dramatic thing, and not a lot of people maybe could relate to, you know, that, but people can relate to deaths and things like that, and awful things. So your worst times in your life, but I feel like there's so much good in those seasons too. We just have to look for it and be present, and knowing that's a time to weep. You know, that was my, as we read about, that was my time to weep.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wouldn't have been able to have that space, as we talked about in our last podcast, our past coming into our future, that would have very much still be affecting me to this day. And I'm happy to say that I no longer feel cursed.
Yeah.
And I I'm not carrying any of those things anymore, because God gave me the time to heal, and the time to weep, and the time to mourn, and the time to grieve. Like, he gave me that space as a gift to be able to do that and process that, and to really develop some amazing relationship with him, that a dependency like I never thought that I could have on the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. I tell you what, the thing about that verse just reminds us that all of our emotions and all of those moments are natural, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are just moments where you are going to weep. There are times you're going to laugh. There's times you're going to mourn. There's times you're going to dance. Like,
yeah.
And those are just the natural rhythms of life.
Yeah.
And it's okay. It's not a judgment on us if we have bad things come about. Yeah. And I'm always reminded of, when I think about, you know, questioning God about like bad things, like, God, where are you when bad things happen?
Yeah.
I'm reminded of Habakkuk, you know, where Habakkuk was watching all of this stuff happen around him. Like, you know, Israel was just being decimated, and people were being carried off into Babylon, and you know, people were starving, and he was just questioning God, like, God, where are you right now? And God came back and answered him and said, like, I'm doing a thing. Like, you can't
uh-huh.
see it now, but I'm doing a thing. And
yeah.
The beautiful thing about that too was, he allowed Habakkuk to ask those questions. Like, God
uh-huh.
never chided him for being frustrated and presenting those questions to him. And so it was almost as if I mean, God knows what we think anyway, right? So even if Amen. We don't ask him, he knows what we're thinking. Like, we can't hide that stuff from him. But God, you know, he tenderly answered him back. So even then at the end of that book, you know, and I think Habakkuk's like three whole chapters. It's not a long book at all. But at the end of it, he, you know, says, though there's no, you know, cattle in the stalls, I will praise the Lord. Like he like completely changed his opinion of all of the stuff that's going on. And yeah, that's just a reminder that we don't always know what's happening at the time, but we know the God we serve and we know he's a good God.
Yeah.
It becomes a matter of trust getting through those things.
Amen. And, you know, I have been so disheartened recently. I feel like a lot of people are, what is the trendy word like right now about reconstructing their faith?
Deconstructing.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So I see that, and I feel like there's some healthy things that are occurring for some people. But then I also see people walk away from the Lord in those times. I also see, you know, trauma happen, bad things happen to people, and it's so sad and it's so unfortunate. And they walk away from God altogether in those times because, you know, they have those thoughts like we all do. Where are you, God? And those things. But, you know, it's just so sad because this is in his word. This is biblical. If we look and if we know and if we've studied or if we've even gone to church for a while, we know times of trouble are going to come. None of us can get away from it. And that has nothing to do with the Lord. It has everything to do with the free world, our free will, and this broken world we live in. And God is always, always there, and he does always care. And like Jen said, we can always question him, and he is okay with it. He can handle it. He can take it. But I think things like this are important to remember, especially my heart just breaks seeing so many amazing, strong Christians walk away from the Lord altogether. Just a reminder that we are going to go through these times, but the Lord is faithful. And he's beautiful, these things will be redeemed. Romans 8:28, Jen is absolutely right. I see, you know, even looking at that horrific situation, and I've mentioned this before, but I was so convinced that when my second husband passed away, that never again would I marry and have children, that I put my name on the tombstone. And here God has just redeemed all of that beyond my wildest imagination. Yeah. I was able to marry again to a man who is so wonderful and just balances me in so many ways. And then he gave me these three additional beautiful children that I never thought I would have the opportunity to even have another kid again.
Yeah.
So, you know, out of this horrific situation, even in the land of the living, as Jen has, she loves that verse, in this land of the living, I was able to see so many things come to pass and out of such a horrible situation. He did redeem that in so many ways.
Yeah.
And he grieved right along with me. I'm telling you, he is close to the brokenhearted.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you pay attention in those times, oh my word, he is close to the brokenhearted.
Well, because it says like that even Jesus was a man acquainted with grief. Like, he understood that. Like, so he understands when we go through that. And yeah, so he's very close to us. Says he's close to the brokenhearted. So, like you said, I want to get back to one thing you did say that, and maybe I don't want to say I'm going to get on my soapbox, but the whole deconstructing faith movement, I think it had its origins in some good stuff, and then I think it can go way, way, way far to just deconstructing faith. I mean, altogether.
Right.
And where I like deconstructing the church stuff is just in that, like, questioning what you believe and why you believe it is something that you do in your faith. Is it biblical? Is it like, or is it just religion?
Right.
And, you know, it like salvation is, I mean, it's pretty simple. But following rules and regulations is not salvation. So just stuff like that. Like I love things like that. Like just being able to say, okay, why do I believe what I believe?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Where does this tradition come from? Is it a, you know, a tradition I'm willing to like die on the hill for, or is it just a tradition that feels good and it like celebrates, you know, an aspect of my faith? And I think it just gets so sad when it gets so far the other way of I'm just going to deconstruct faith altogether and there is no God and I'm not going to follow anything. And then, I get it. Like it's very tempting to say, I'm not going to believe in God because he doesn't look like what I think he should look like, act like what I think he should act like. I can't put him in a box, whatever. I mean, I understand. And I'm not condemning anybody. So I hope no one hears me saying that are following that whole deconstructing faith. I just think it's very sad because it's, you lose something.
Yeah, I agree. It's really sad. Really just grieving, seeing a lot of Christians fall off because of religion.
Yeah.
And because, you know, just the confusion behind is this religion or is this relationship?
Right.
And it should be
relationship for sure.
And so I think those of us who have like just this intimacy and dependency and relationship on the Lord, it's easier for us to come to the conclusion, you know, what the difference is, because, you know, even if Jen and I are not walking into a church building, we know who to go to as the source.
Amen.
You know, so even if we didn't go to church for quite some time, the relationship's not going anywhere.
Right. I know who I belong to.
Amen. So, yeah, I know we got far off subject there, but I think it's important because if we don't recognize these things in these hard seasons and in these times of mourning and weeping and grieving and all the thing, if we don't have that deep relationship and intimacy with the Lord, then it would be a time that maybe some people would run, you know, and that's seen over and over in the Bible. And I definitely see it all over and over now. But good news, folks, is that God wins. And so he will come and rescue his children. And that Reckless Love song is, he leaves the 99 to go get the one. I've been that one over and over in my life. And he's came to rescue me. And we believe that he's going to come rescue those as well, because he has to. He's God and he never changes. And so it's true. What's true then is true now. And he's going to do it and he's going to win. So,
amen.
Thank you, amen. Lord.
Woohoo.
Yes.
Well, that was
the seasons. It has been getting really pretty here in Northern Kentucky. And I am excited to welcome in a new season, as many of our podcast listeners have been hearing that Jen and I like the warm weather. So I am ready to welcome the warm weather in, and I'm excited about this new season ahead.
Yeah, me as well. Me as well. Well, we're probably going to, we are going to wrap up there. this episode, but I do want to remind our listeners, we are going to be taking a 2-week break. So this will be the last episode you will get for a couple of weeks. We are both taking vacations, and they just happen to be back to back of one another. And the podcast can't happen without us. So we've decided to just take a 2-week break. So we hit a milestone of 30 episodes, and we're taking a 2-week break. So
yeah. And if you really miss us, we need to know. We need to hear. We need your feedback if you really, really miss us. So we want to hear when we get back. We want to have lots of emails from you or lots of messages to let us know what you want to hear from us when we come back. So we welcome those messages.
Absolutely. So we will join you guys in 2 weeks. So be blessed.
Yes. Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2022, Parable Road, LLC.